And now, for the next few minutes, I'd like to think with you about understanding ourselves. The Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians, the second chapter and the 19th verse, which was also read in our responsive scripture reading this morning, "So then, you Gentiles are not foreigners or strangers any longer. You are now fellow citizens with God's people and members of the family of God, which means that we have the power and the guidance of God in our lives. No longer strangers." I've heard that a child, when it's born, is untrusting. Perhaps that's why a life begins with a cry. The infant is apart from its mother for the first time. It has become a separate human being. But also, at that moment, to a certain extent, the newborn becomes a stranger. Some of us have strangers living in our own homes. We do not always understand one another. We love and treasure our children and watch them grow, but we can never completely understand them. And our parents, as seen from the perspective of the children, are always doing strange things. We love and respect them, but we do not always understand them. A man and a woman can be married to each other 20 years and yet remain strangers to each other in many respects. According to the scriptures, two people become one flesh in marriage, but that is not altogether true of our personalities. There is a separateness that no power in this world can ever bridge. So when the Apostle Paul writes that we are no more strangers and that Christ has destroyed the wall that separates us from each other and from God, when he says we are no longer strangers, that is a truly mighty affirmation. Have you ever been alone in a crowd of people that you didn't know? Even when you don't know anyone in the room, something in you wants to relate to someone. And this idea of relating to a stranger in a crowd has been a romantic influence through the centuries in literature and art and music. The Rodgers and Hammerstein song says that some enchanting evening you may see a stranger across a crowded room, and somehow you know even then that somehow you'll see her again and again. No longer strangers. There is suddenly a bond between you. And the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians, the second chapter, that there can be a bond that tears down the walls that establish an instant relationship between us and everyone else in the world and with God himself. No longer strangers to anyone. Isn't that good news? Paul Tillich, one of the great theologians of the last century, was the one who first made the term estrangement popular. He said that the tragedy of our times, of man's estrangement from himself, is man's estrangement from himself, from others, and from God. But let's look at this concept of being strangers for a moment. We can be strangers even to ourselves. We can live a lifetime never ever knowing ourselves, much less than anybody else. Probably the most bizarre example of this was a man who thought that he was dead. He was a very wealthy man. He was intelligent. He was well educated. But there was just this one thing wrong with him. He thought he was dead. After some amount of tribulation, the family and friends finally prevailed upon him to talk to a psychiatrist. Well, the psychiatrist recognized that this man was intelligent, well-educated, so he tried to use reason to convince the man of his error. So he asked the man, "Do dead men eat?" And the man said, "Well, as a matter of fact, maybe they do. In many cultures in the Orient, for example, they put food in the tomb so that the dead can come back and consume it. Apparently, dead men do eat." And then the psychiatrist asked him, "Well, do dead men talk?" And he said, "Well, maybe they do. You know, Houdini, for example, had a telephone put in his coffin so that he could call back from the other world. And people apparently talk through mediums. Yes, dead men do talk sometimes." Next, the doctor asked him, "Do dead men walk?" And the man said, "Well, sometimes they do. There are documented cases in New England, for example, of haunted castles where the former occupant comes back and walks through the night rattling chains. Yes, dead men do walk." In desperation, the psychiatrist finally said, "Do dead men bleed?" And the patient said, "No, absolutely not. Dead men do not bleed." And so the doctor said, "Roll up your sleeve." The man rolled up his sleeve. The doctor took a scalpel and made a small incision on the man's forearm. The blood began to roll down his arm. The man put his finger on the blood and raised it to the light and looked at it and said, "Well, what do you know? Dead men do bleed." No amount of reason in the world was going to convince or help this man overcome the estrangement he had to himself. That is an unusual case, of course. But there are examples to be seen in front of us each day of our lives. Some of us are estranged from ourselves because of a negative self-evaluation, even though there is no reality to our evaluation. Dr. Alfred Adler, the great psychologist, had an experience when he was a young boy. He got off to a bad start in arithmetic, and his teacher became convinced that Adler was stupid when it came to mathematics. The teacher told his parents that the boy was dumb and also told them not to expect too much out of him. And the parents, too, were convinced of the teacher's evaluation. Therefore, Adler himself passively accepted the assessment that had been made of him. And his grades in arithmetic proved that they were correct. And then one day, however, he had a sudden flash of insight and thought he saw how to work a problem that the teacher had put on the blackboard, one which none of the other pupils could work. So he raised his hand and announced that he would solve the problem. The students and even the teacher laughed at the idea. And then he became indignant. He strode up to the blackboard and he worked the problem perfectly, which, much to everyone's amazement. And at that moment, he realized that he could understand arithmetic. He had been handed an unreal negative self-evaluation, and he had believed it and performed on the basis of that assessment. How many of us here have done the same thing? Someone has told us our abilities are limited or that our dreams are unreachable, and we have accepted that evaluation without question. And ever afterwards, we go through a life unhappy and unfulfilled. We become estranged from ourselves simply because we believe what others have told us about ourselves. When I was a chaplain counselor at the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center for 6.5 years working with alcoholics, I found out that almost every one of those alcoholics had negative self-esteem about themselves. In order to help them turn their negative self-esteem into a positive self-esteem, I worked out a method of using the scriptures and prayer and other ways of focusing on their positives in their lives to turn their thinking around. One young lady that came in to see me followed my plan, and in 3 months, she changed her negative self-esteem around into a positive self-esteem. And not only that, but they gave her a job. I'll be happy to help anyone with their self-esteem. Just call me and I'll help you. Now back to the message of the morning. Some of us are estranged from ourselves because we have unrealistic expectations. This is not quite the opposite of negative self-evaluation, but it is just as deadly. Have you ever known anyone who is afraid to be just human? It is a miserable state to be in, always being afraid of making a mistake or of saying the wrong thing. In fact, they can't function. They need to realize that nobody is perfect. And of course, when we think about that, that's an awful cliche, but it is true. And we need to be reminded of it. No baseball hitter, no matter how good he ever bats, will ever bat 1,000. We think hitting is remarkable if he just hits the ball 3 times out of every 10 at bat. And that's only 30% of the time. We tend to forget about that great Babe Ruth, who holds the record for the most home runs, also holds the record for the most strikeouts. It's true, nobody is perfect. But sometimes we forget this and develop unrealistic expectations of ourselves. We forget that we are just flesh and blood. When this happens, people think that we are stuck up or that we're snobs. They don't know that we are simply afraid to make a mistake, afraid of being real. Or in the case of the man who declared that dead men do bleed, we are afraid of being alive. Negative self-evaluations and unreal expectations estrange us from ourselves and make our potential go unrealized. No wonder we feel like strangers all the time. We never completely channel all of our energies and all of our creativity and all of our imagination, all of our inner strength and power into what it could be, because we don't know ourselves. We can never completely give ourselves to anything. An excellent example of this lost potential can be seen when a hypnotist performs. A hypnotist can tell a mighty football player that a pencil is too heavy to lift, and that tremendous athlete will not be able, with all his strength, to lift that pencil. Has the hypnotist changed the athlete's strength? Not at all. He has simply made the athlete struggle against himself. Of course, the opposite works just as well. An athlete who might only be able to register a gripping strength of 100 pounds can be hypnotized, and all of a sudden he's capable of gripping 125 pounds. Has he been given additional strength by the hypnotist? No. But those blocking forces in his life that tell him that 100 pounds is his limit are suddenly torn away, and he is able to perform at his maximum potential. And now you and I, if we were no longer strangers to ourselves, could perform at our maximum potential as husbands and wives, as parents, and as active participants in our community and at everything we do. But we need to be the best us that God created. We must no longer be strangers to ourselves. And as the Apostle Paul says, Christ can tear down those walls that keep us from being what God created us to be. He can help us to know ourselves and through that knowledge, give ourselves to others. I'm told that the only one man-made structure on Earth that can be detectable by the human eye from out in orbit is the one structure, is the Great Wall of China. Somehow, that seems to fit the one structure in the entire world that is grand enough to see from outer space is a wall. Unfortunately, we all face walls in our life, either created by others or by ourselves. What I like most about our Christian faith is that the unlimited power of Christ in our lives. Very early in my life, I memorized a Bible verse, Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, written by the Apostle Paul, giving us his motivation to do everything that he did, helping people and experiencing the power of God in their lives. Paul writes in Philippians, the 4th chapter and the 13th verse, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I was told that I could do anything, and my parents channeled my ambitions in positive ways, and I was very lucky as a boy. As a boy, I got a paper route when my mother told me that she didn't want me to do it, and she relented and let me have it, and then I was a paper boy or a paper man and used in the newspaper business until I was the age of 30. At the beginning of the World War II, I wanted to defend our country and our way of life, and I wanted to enlist in the Army before I was drafted, and I worked a way around it so that I was able to get my mother's permission, and I got in the Army. I decided to become a chaplain without scholarships or without any help from my parents. I worked my way through college and seminary 7 years with a limited funds from the GI Bill for 3 years. When Betty and I were first married and I was going to seminary, we decided on Betty attending the University of California at Berkeley, about 50 miles round trip with a ferry boat ride from the seminary where I was going to school. And the president of the seminary, he was the one that we had to go see in order to get in the seminary. And we went up to his house, and he said, well, what is Betty going to do? And I said, well, Betty's going to the University of California. Oh, he says, you can't do that. Nobody's been able to do that. Not even the professor's children could do that. Well, we walked out, and Betty, you should have seen Betty's face. She was heartbroken. She said, what are we going to do? And I said, you are going to go to University of California, Berkeley, and you're going to graduate from there just like we planned. And then when I graduated from seminary, and she graduated from college at the same time from Berkeley. And, of course, I had to hold down 3 jobs to put us both through school, but never underestimate the power of God. And I know God was in there helping us. As in our scripture this morning, God will help anyone committed to him to tear down the walls of defeat and make us victorious in life. But to do it, we need to commit our lives to God and follow the life and teachings of Jesus Christ. And we will, like Paul, say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now let's do it today in silent prayer. Let's dedicate or rededicate our lives to God. Or just pray, Heavenly Father, come into my life, forgive all my sins, and help me to do what you want me to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's have a time of silent prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, come into our lives this morning in a very real way. Forgive us for all of our sins and mistakes of the past. Help us to tear down the walls in our lives and give us the power and the guidance to live as you want us to live and to live happy and successful lives. Bless each and every one of us this morning and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.